Welcome to the ministry of Harvest Life Church. We pray that this message would help harvest the life God has for you.
When I was a young man being raised in upstate New York, one of the things that my grandparents would do is they would take me and my sister with them up to the Adirondack Mountains. Now, to us in upstate New York, they were mountains, right? But then I came out west and I realized that these actually weren't mountains. These were like little hills, but they were beautiful. And one of the things that they had was some beautiful lakes. And I was very young. I was still young enough that my sister could take me. How many of you brothers out there had a sister that was stronger than you and older than you? But there came that moment that you could take her. And as soon as you could, you realized you didn't want to take her anymore because you would hurt her. But I was in that vulnerable place. And I don't know if your sister did what my sister did to me when she used to be able to take me, but we were out swimming and I just learned to swim. And really to say that I had learned to swim means that with the instructor with me in the pool, I had just learned to float a teeny bit and I had just learned the week before the crawl. And for the very first time, I had been able to do that stroke and actually move very slowly across the water. And then that weekend, we went to the Adirondacks. And out there in water over my head, my sister encouraged me, don't worry, we've got the raft. I'll keep you safe. And she lured me into the deeper water, and then she pulled the raft. Apparently, she thought that I knew enough to swim, or at least I should be swimming. And I appreciate her for her helpfulness, because I did find out that day that I could swim. But in a panic, I freaked out. I freaked out because I didn't know I could swim. I forgot everything I had learned and I began to sink. I came back up and tried to swim to the raft and reach for it and she would pull it away. I would get a little closer, she would pull it away. And finally, I tucked tail and turned towards the shore, which seemed like miles away, and I swam. And I swam with all of my might, scared to death about stopping until my feet had hit the ground. And finally, literally, I swam to the beach. I swam to the beach and I got up so angry and so mad. And then all of a sudden I realized, hey, she's a long way out there. I swam all that distance and here I am. And I think I'm telling you that story today because I think a lot of us feel like that today. We've had our, what we were relying on pulled out from under us. Many of us are watching and the raft we were trusting in we thought was going to be there for us, and it was pulled away. And we find ourselves not being able to get our footing. I was going to do this series the week after Easter, but I really felt inspired that I should launch it this weekend. Today I want to talk to you about putting your hope in God, not in the shifting sands of life. The Bible says that there were two men. One built this house upon a rock, a good foundation. And that's the rock of hearing and following the words of Jesus. That's the rock of our hope. And he had built on a good foundation. And a storm came, but his house was okay. But then there was a foolish man. The Bible says he built his house upon sand, on a foundation that wasn't stable. And when the storm came, everything was washed away. Today, I'm going to talk to you about hoping in God. Out of the Message Bible in Psalm 146, it says, don't put your life in the hands of experts who know nothing of life and salvation life. Of salvation life. They know about life, but they don't know the life that he's talking about. Salvation life. Mere humans don't have what it takes. When they die, their projects die with them. Instead, get help from the God of Jacob. Put your hope in God and know what real blessing is. I'm going to continue reading it out of the New King James. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. Today, I want to help you rediscover where your hope is. And if this morning you find like me with that raft, my feet were knocked out from under me, that you don't have a firm place for your footing, I hope by the end of today that you will have a place to put your feet down in God, and you will have faith and hope restored or beginning to be restored to your life. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 tells us, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." That's a scripture that has a total different meaning this week than it did last week. And although we've always loved it, I want you to put this in your thinking today. God is still thinking thoughts of peace and a hope for you and for me. God says he's the God who's going to make a way where there is no way. God says he's the God of all hope. He's the God of all comfort. And he's going to help us in this time. Now, what's interesting, as I heard someone say this week, and I understand there are many different beliefs, but here at Harvest Life Church, we're very careful to bring the scriptures to bear on our beliefs and not just say that. Because people say things that are well-meaning. They say, well, God has brought this on the earth so that we would learn not to trust in ourselves. Well, I hope that we learn not to trust in ourselves. But the Bible is very clear that this world is fallen and that because of sin, there is tribulation in the earth. It doesn't say God is sending it. Jesus said in this world, we will have tribulation. But he said, even in this world where bad things happen, that you and I have a hope. We have a foundation to put our feet upon. That number one, it's not coming from God. And number two, that God is going to help us recover. You see, the Bible says in John 10:10 that it's the thief who comes to steal and to kill and destroy. This virus came from somewhere. And we know that all these sickness and disease were not on the earth. The Bible says that he said it was good. The earth, it was good when he made it. But all this stuff is a part of the fall. All this evil in the world is a part of the fall. But Jesus is coming to you today. And he's saying, even though this has happened, listen, I still have plans of hope, plans of peace to give you a future and a hope. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, can good things happen when bad things happen? Sure. That's what Joseph said, right? That's what Joseph said. You meant it for evil, but God turned this for good. But God didn't bring it so he could turn it to good. But that is what God is doing for all those who will put their hope in him. God will cause you. And I know we've all found some good things out of this. Maybe we appreciate the people in the very room that's watching this broadcast with us right now more than we did last week. Maybe we're more thankful for family, for friends, for faith, for church, for community. There's some good things that maybe has come from this, but we're not going to give credit or praise to an evil thing that has happened to us. We're going to give our praise and our credit to God. Can I hear a good amen, family? And this is very important for you because it helps you know how to go forward. God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. He still has a plan. He still has future. He still has hope for you. God hasn't changed, right? And it's time you and I are the church in the midst of this time. Now, what has changed? Our perspective has changed because some of us, even my own self, was trusting in things that God said, I want you to put your trust in me. And that's what I've learned from this. So my perspective has changed. The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. What does that mean? Blessed are those who know their need of God. I would say all over the world today, people know their need of God like they never knew it before. Listen, God is the God of all hope. He's the giver of hope. And today, I want you to get hope in God. I want you to have hope in God. And I'm sorry, I licked my fingers. I almost have the habit broken. Amen. So what is hope? What is hope? Biblical hope is two things. I want you to write this down. If you're taking notes, I hope you have your pen and paper with you. If not, grab out your phone and write some notes. But here it is. Listen to it. Biblical hope is, number one, a relationship with God that gives you the positive expectation of good. That's what hope is. Hope simply is the positive expectation of good. But notice, it's a relationship with God. Only your relationship with God can give you the positive expectation of good. You say, well, I have a relationship with God. Well, I know you have a relationship with God. But when your relationship with God, I'm not saying you're not right with God. I'm saying that sometimes our focus is wrong. God wants you to draw from that relationship, not just have a relationship and still live under the fears and the phobias of our humanity. Hey, we can all go there. But God is offering you to you today a relationship and a connection with Him that is so strong that you sense Him rising up within you saying, I've got this child. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to help you. It's a positive expectation of good. That's what a relationship with God is to give us, right? You know, I think sometimes in my life, I have a relationship with God, and I just want to be honest with you, but sometimes it's not as deep as it needs to be. Sometimes that relationship isn't producing the character and the fruit that I want it to, that I need it to, that my world needs it to. But I'm so glad that I have a God that doesn't condemn me, that I can come to Him in my relationship and say, God, I need You. I'm hungering and I'm thirsting for You. Maybe if you're bold enough, maybe in that room you're in right now, would you just lift your hands to God? Would you right now just bring Him into this conversation? Oh God, we're just asking You right now, Lord, to work within us out of our relationship with You, this positive expectation of good. Thank You for it, Lord. And number two, this hope, this definition of hope, biblical hope, it is a forward view. It is the forward view of the righteous. Did you see that? It literally means the forward view. When it says the righteous have hope, that means even though they've gone through some things, their sight isn't caught in the past, right? Even though some things have happened, their sight isn't caught, just stuck where they're at. I don't know what to do. Hope is a disposition. Hope is a forward view of the righteous. And the righteous doesn't mean those who are perfect, but it's those who have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My family, you are never going to be perfect, but there is a Jesus who walked this earth, who was perfect for you. And when He died on that cross for you, He took all your imperfection into Himself so He could impart His right standing with all those who believe. His righteousness. And I want you to know that that hope is the forward disposition. So today I want you to put that on. I want you to put on a positive expectation of good. Amen. I want you to wear it I want you to have it on hand. You know, we should have Christians freaking out because wait a minute. I mean, we got people freaking out because they might not have toilet paper. You know, you could use coffee filters. I just want to say that man lived for thousands of years without toilet paper. Good preaching, Pastor Dave. That's funny. I don't care who you are. And they found ways to take care of themselves. And I'm not saying that that's what we need to do, but I'm saying we need to have Christians saying, oh my heavens, I'm out of hope. I can't go out without my hope on. I can't go out without my relationship with God that is causing me to look forward, that is causing me to have this positive expectation, even though this stuff is going on, right? I can't afford to be without it. I can't afford to be without it. Amen. It's more important than bum paper. I'll tell you right now, family. Amen. We serve the God of all hope. You know, it's funny. I say, I don't know, that may have been tacky, but we don't want to, there's no one here to tell me it was tacky. So it's just me and the cameraman, and he laughed. So here we are. Amen. We serve a God of hope. Can I hear an amen? I know I just disrupted everybody. Can we serve a God of hope? My family, we are a church of hope. See, you and I need to make a decision to be a people of hope. A people of hope. Amen. I want to give you three things about a people of hope. Three things about a people of hope. Number one, people of hope focus on the God of hope. People of hope focus on the God of hope. Don't get your focus on the news. Amen. You know, sometimes it's good. Today, as I got up early this morning, began praying, I turned off all my notifications because I don't want to know anything else other than what I knew before I began this message. There are times that we don't need to know everything that's going on. I'm not saying we bury our head, but you always know when your focus has shifted from the God of hope to the circumstance around you. You always know. And so people of hope, they have a focus on the God of hope. And I love this scripture, Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Turn there in your Bibles with me. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. I love this scripture. Listen to it. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. Not just a little bit of hope, not just a little itty bitty bit, but he wants you to abound in hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy. I say that over you today. May the God of hope fill you, my family, with joy, with peace. May he cause to abound in you his hope in you, that by the power of the Holy Spirit that works in our lives. Often, we don't know we're not focused on the God of hope until our raft gets taken out from under us. Amen? So we need to turn to the God of hope. On Wednesday night, I told you about the story of David and Ziklag. If you have time later, look it up in 1 Samuel 30. But David and his men had their city destroyed. Kind of like this virus, had their city destroyed. And in the destruction of their city, they were so grieved that his men and him wept so hard that they literally got so mad and frustrated. They wanted to react wrong. Instead of responding, they wanted to react and they wanted to kill David. Can you imagine if you're the leader, right? I mean, I can't imagine today, as the pastor of Harvest Life Church, of all the people of Harvest Life Church said, because this thing has happened, Pastor, we want to kill you. That's what happened to David. Their wives, their children, all their property were taken away. And they were mad at David. They were mad at the wrong people. But the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. That word literally says that he attached himself to the Lord. He attached himself to the Lord. And then he prayed and he got God's perspective. The people of hope focus on the God of hope. Keep his perspective alive in your life. Attach yourself to the Lord. Can you say amen to that, family? Right now, I want you to just do that. Just say, Lord, I attach myself to you. I attach myself to the God of hope. Fill me, God, by your Holy Spirit with joy, with peace, and abundant hope by your Holy Spirit power. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord today. Number two, people of hope avoid the path of the hopeless. People of hope avoid the path of the hopeless, right? They avoid the path of the hopeless. My family, you and I need to understand today that every morning before this virus hit, every morning there was a daily battle for your hope. And now that this has happened to the people overseas, and now it has come and it is affecting so many of our daily lives. Though I know many of you with me were praying about this before it ever came over, and now it's here and it's affecting our daily lives. There are hope robbers in our world today. And every day you get up, there is a battle for your hope. But the people of hope avoid the path of the hopeless, right? So we have God, and God is saying, I have a future, and I have a hope for you. I have good thoughts towards you. I have a plan for you. You're going to be okay. You're going to make it. And then on the other hand, we have the news is saying worst case scenario, right? They're telling us to do this. We've never done this before as a nation. And of course, the opportunity for fear is coming in, right? But the Bible says when fear begins to come in, to stir yourself up, to stir up the gift of God that is in you, right? To stir up the gift of God that is in you. And remember that it's not, the fear's not coming from God, but when you stir up the gift of God that is in you, all of a sudden you begin to recognize, wait a minute, God is for me. God hasn't fallen off his throne. Nothing has changed. Yes, my whole life has changed, but nothing has changed with God. He wasn't taken. And many of you are discovering that God actually had some setups. I was listening to a good friend of mine the other day, Pastor Jordan. He said, you know, God has had some setups that we didn't even know about, that we have things right in place. You know, last year we told you that the Lord spoke to us about upgrading our live stream so that we could have a better live stream. And we really felt that that's what we were supposed to do. And I do want to say that we're so glad we listened to the Lord. And yes, in Heart for the House this year, we've talked to you a couple weeks back. We're talking throughout the month of March about projects that we had coming to upgrade it even further. But this is what we got. We're pausing our Heart for the House because we want to give all of our attention. Thank you for those who've given to it. Thank you for that. But aren't you glad that we heard the Lord when he said last year? When he said last year, I do want to share with you, for those of you with Heart for the House, I do want to share with you that we're gonna continue, but we're going to pause right now until we get through this crisis. Thank you for all those who pledged. You're free to give to Heart for the House, right? We appreciate that. And I do want to say, since I'm on the subject, I just want to announce, we only announced it a couple weeks, and we've already received over $70,000 in pledges towards Heart for the House projects this year. But we're not going to take any offerings for that. We're stopping it. We're pausing. We're not going to talk about it until we get back together in the house together. And then we'll resume where we left off. Does that make sense to you? Because I want all of our energies in focus. Amen? But aren't you glad we heard the Lord? Aren't you glad today that we can come together like this? See, God has done setups just like that for every one of us. There are handfuls on purpose all around us. Don't focus on the negativity. Don't take the path of hopelessness. The blessings are all around you. You say, well, there's lots of stuff going on. Yeah, that's all around you too. But if you focus on that, it'll take you down. But if you focus on the blessings, that hope will pull your life forward in God. Can I hear a good amen, family? Now, I need you to understand some things. He has a future and the hope. The enemy is the one bringing turmoil. Fear is the thing that's bringing the regret, the pain, the trial. And you've got to make a decision. What side are you going to be on? Amen? See, did you know that hopeless, the word hopeless and hopelessness is not in the Bible? Wow. It's not in the Bible. You can't even find that word in the Bible because God is a God of hope. I cannot afford to get on the path of hopelessness, right? What is hopelessness? Hopelessness is whatever happens, happens. Whatever happens, happens. How many know you can say that from a hopeless point of view? Or you can say that whatever happens, happens. And here's what hope says. And God is here to make sure I'm okay no matter what happens. Right? There's this resigning ourselves to fate or fear that the path of the hopeless take. Right? Well, it is what it is. We've all heard that. It is what it is. Yeah. It is what it is. But God is still who he is. Come on, somebody. God is still who he is. Here's another one, right? Why even bother? Because God says that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen? We don't want to get on the road to hopelessness. I want to give you a statement here, and I want you to really write this down today. I want you to write it down. Listen to it. Any area of your life that is hopeless is right now under the influence of a lie. If you feel hopeless, any area of your life that you feel hopeless in, I guarantee you, your perspective is wrong. You are right now under the influence of a lie. My family, God doesn't want you to live under the influence of a lie. God does not want you to live on the path of hopelessness. He wants you to avoid that path. He wants you to know that He's the God of all hope. And number three, listen to it. People of hope never let go of their hope. People of hope never let go of their hope. I want to read to you a scripture today in Hebrews out of the Message Bible. And I'm going to stand as I read this because I really want this to get into your heart today. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never, ever let go. It is unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances, right into the very presence of God, where Jesus is running on ahead of us. He has taken up His permanent post as high priest for us. I love that. We who have run for our very lives to lay hold of this hope. You know, that word hope there is a nautical term. It's used in sailing. And what it literally refers to is what you and I would know today as a life raft. And God is saying that His relationship with you is literally a life raft. And God is extending that to you, His children, today. And He says, we who have fled to God for our very lives should lay hold of this hope with both hands and never let go. People of hope never let go of their hope in God. Today, as you are watching, God is throwing out a lifeline. He's throwing out a lifeline to you. And maybe in times past, you grabbed a hold of that lifeline. And then, like some of us do, as He was pulling you to shore, you didn't realize you were doing it because you didn't realize how perilous your situation was. To you, it was calm, balmy waters. It's funny how when you're not in a storm and the life preserver gets thrown to you, you might try to do other things. You might hold on with one hand, right? That's not the tense that is here. He says, grab on with both hands. There's a storm going on. You need to grab a hold of your God, and you need to recognize the stuff that's been holding you up isn't actually holding you up. Only God is holding you up, and your trust needs to be in Him. There's no time to do other things. Oh, let's see what the news says. Well, you need to know what the news says, but you better grab a hold of your hope with both arms today. You better grab a hold with both arms. Right now, I know God, by His Holy Spirit, is reaching out to people.
Thank you for listening. We trust this message has blessed your life. For more sermons by Pastor David Whaley, visit us at www.harvestlifechurch.org.